Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service
times, good morning, church family. Once again,
thank
you so much for welcoming us into your home. We are so looking forward to gathering together for our graduation parade.
Thank you for joining us this morning.
Of course, we don't know what the weather is going to be. It looks like we got a window. It looks like it's going to be beautiful weather. So we look forward to seeing everybody out. Rebecca approached me several days ago. She kept her 6-foot distance, of course, and said, "Do you realize that this weekend is Memorial Day?" And I laughed and said, "I do now." But to be honest, it had totally fallen off my radar. As I have to admit, in some senses, I've lost track of days. I'm really not kidding. And it's not because I don't have anything to do, much to the contrary, but it's because of all this lockdown stuff that it's like the days seem to get blurred together. It's kind of hard to separate weekends, because we're home so much and there's so little going on in the evenings. And so as I began to think about Memorial Day, I began to think about how people normally have celebrated Memorial Day as like a day away from work and a day home. And now we're in a way that, to be honest, a lot of people are just wanting to be back at work and wanting to be around other folks in large gatherings. Memorial Day is an important day, and it's a holiday. I have to tell you that I really didn't understand for a large portion of my life. A Memorial Day is a time where we're going to pay tribute and we're going to give honor to those who are most worthy because of their sacrifice on behalf of our country. Memorial Day is a day that we set aside to remember those who have served, suffered, and died for the freedoms that which we now enjoy. As a little boy, I remember going to my first baseball game. We lived in New Jersey, and my dad took me to Shea Stadium to see the New York Mets play. Now, before I lose you, I will attest that I'm a Cardinals fan, all right? But this was my very first time, and as a child, it was my first time in a huge, huge crowd. There were thousands and thousands of diverse individuals, some rooting for the home team, some for the visiting team, but they were all there to enjoy a nice summer ball game. And just before the ball game started, I'll never forget, everybody stood together and they joined in singing the national anthem. And as a young child, I got to tell you, it was an awesome experience. So many people lifting their voices together, you know, that, oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. There was a flag that stood to the left of the scoreboard. It was before the days of animated scoreboards. And I remember the flags weren't as large as the ones that we have now. And the simple flag fluttered in the breeze. Folks' hats were off, their hands were on their heart, and they lifted up their voice singing together. No one at that time was daring to kneel and protest and try to say what a horrible nation that we have. And so for the first moment in my young life, I began to understand what now has become so such a cliche. Freedom is not free. And for that brief moment, I opened myself up to the knowledge of the cost of the liberty which I enjoy, and all too often, I have to say it, I take for granted. It was, and it should be celebrated. And as the song concluded, or the land of the free and the home of the brave, I got to tell you, chills went through my body as the crowd got that crescendo and everyone began to cheer and to yell. But the older I get, the more I realize this truth, that to be the land of the free, we must also be the home of the brave. The home of individuals whose commitment, whose sense of duty, honor, and loyalty inspire them to bravery and to self-sacrifice. It was FDR who said that in the truest sense, freedom cannot be bestowed, It must be achieved. Each and every one who has bled and sacrificed and suffered and died in some way has helped accomplish the task that we all have now, to make the dream of freedom a reality. Memorial Day is the day that we set aside to honor those who have paved that way by embodying that truth. It was Abraham Lincoln who said that those who won our independence believed liberty to be the secret of happiness and courage to be the secret of liberty. I believe it's fitting that we do honor and we remember the courageous on Memorial Day. Those who spilled their blood to make America what she is today. Not perfect, but free and strong. One nation under God that is worth fighting and even worth dying for. Because men and women have sacrificed and died for our country, we have the right to preach God's word freely. We have the right to live in peace and to pursue our dreams because someone else was willing to give up theirs. We have the right to pursue peace, prosperity, and happiness. Now, I understand the irony of those statements in light of where we are right now as a state. That irony is not lost on me. And the truth is that evil will always prevail when good becomes complacent. So our task is to remember and to not forget the cost of our freedom and independence and to value the liberty that we have as a nation. Now, once again, before you say we've lost our liberties, hold on for a few moments. We're going to get to that a little bit later in the message. I found it quite interesting when I've gone to auctions, and I remember helping my father-in-law set up for an auction one time, and there was a particular item that I thought was interesting, and so I walked up to him and I said, "Hey, what do you think this will bring?" And in my father-in-law's true fashion, he replied, "Whatever someone's willing to pay for it." Which brings me to our first point. I got three quick points for you today as we reflect on Memorial Day and try to get a Christian perspective of how we should value and some lessons that we can learn from that. So my first point for us here today is this: value the freedoms we have and remember their cost. As we're talking about auctions, I recall going to an auction, an estate sale one time, an estate auction. In this one particular auction, there were several paintings, and many people passed them by, and I heard kind of comments, almost kind of poking fun at them, like, "Ew, that's gross, I wouldn't want that hanging in my living room." They didn't understand their value. But there were a few people there who, in fact, were experts in art, and when it came time to bid on those specific pieces, everybody was amazed as the bidding went higher and higher and higher. They were willing to pay a tremendous price because they recognized the tremendous value of those particular pieces. People gasped as the paintings actually went for many thousands of dollars. And people viewed those paintings then much differently once they saw the cost. I was having holiday with my family one time, and we were at my sister's house, and she had these plates, and I looked at the plates, and they were really neat. They had these little scenes of holiday scenes, and I thought, "Oh, these are kind of cool." I thought maybe they, you know, picked them up at a Walmart or a Target or something. And then as we began to talk, she was like, "Yeah, we went to Norway, and these are handcrafted, handmade. Each one is unique. Each one is individual." And then she gave me a little bit of the cost of them, and I hand-washed them from then on. And I was very, very cautious not to drag my knife across because I realized the value in it. And once you understand the value of something, my friends, you treat it differently. And so I'm working. So as we as a nation pay tribute to the thousands who have given their lives in service, that's the highest cost that they could give. To establish, to protect, to liberate, and to define our country, let us remember the precious price given and so rightly value the freedoms that we enjoy and protect them. We must revalue them and esteem them, lest the sacrifice of these men and women be lessened by our complacency. It's Hamilton Fish who once said, "If a country is worth dying for in the time of war, let us resolve that it's truly worth living for in the time of peace." And My church family, this is a challenge to us to remember and to teach our children to live each day embracing the freedom and respecting the freedom of our countrymen. I will say to this, look, parents, I understand that the last part of this school year kind of felt like a bust in some ways. And, you know, at the end there, but I want to encourage us that we need to teach our children civics. We need to teach our children about the foundations of our nation, the foundations of our country. And if you say, well, I'm ill-equipped to do so, I just need the school district to do it, I want to tell you, I got some great resources about the godly heritage of the foundations of our republic. And I would be willing to recommend and to share them. Okay? Just fire me a message and I'm happy to share those things with you. Because quite honestly, we can't expect an entity and an organization that somehow has decided they have to scrub themselves from the handprint of God to give an accurate depiction of the foundation of our nation. And that's no offense to our wonderful teachers. No offense whatsoever. But they're by law only allowed to tell a portion of the story. Now, some of you may say, well, is this a sermon or a Memorial Day message? And I'm going to tell you, it's both as we begin to meld into that. So point one was that we should value the freedoms that we have and we should remember their cost in terms of our nation. But there's no way that we can look at that without looking at eternity, at true freedom. And I mean freedom that is eternal in nature. So point two, can you believe it? We're already through point two. The value, the freedom that we have in Christ. And remember its costs. Here's where it gets good, church family. You see, what we see set up in our country was actually a reflection of the things that God had for us. When we consider true freedom, it's not limited to the short amount of time that we have here on earth. It is, in fact, eternal in nature. And God is mindful to set us free from the bondage of sin and death and, yes, damnation. I'm talking about eternal separation from God, a Father who loves you and who has purchased salvation for all who don't earn it, but freely receive it by faith. The most famous verse in all of Scripture, John 3:16 and going on to 3:17, for God so loved the world. Okay, He loved the world, everyone, that He gave His only Son. Understanding that when He gave His Son, He knew where it was going to lead. He gave His Son fully aware of where that was going. And Jesus, as the embodiment of the love of God, understood that His life, where it was going, how it was going to end. It says that whosoever believes in Him, that word believes, put their full trust in Him, should not perish, but have eternal life. In verse 17, my heavens, that's a fantastic verse. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world may be saved through Him. As we encounter our friends in and about our society, and they like to tell you, oh, I just can't possibly believe in a God who is just an angry, vengeful, horrible God. No. The whole purpose of God is that God wants to redeem and to save mankind. God created mankind specifically to have a relationship with Him. That should sound familiar. He created you. If you're tuning on here today and you're wondering why you were created, please let me tell you, you were created to have a relationship with God. That's why you're here. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. You're not something that just happened. No. You have purpose. In fact, He loved mankind so much that He gave mankind free will. That means the liberty to even reject Him. He gave that to mankind. And I got to tell you, we have, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all of us, in one way or another, have turned our back on God. Mankind's history is just ripe full of people who just reveled in their living for themselves. Yet God loves us so much that then He paid the eternal penalty for the very rebellion that we bestowed on Him in the face of His love. That whosoever, I mean, that means anybody. You are not too far from God. You are not too far from God. I recognize that there are some folks who are maybe tuning in And you'd think I would never go to a church. But maybe this COVID-19 stuff has got me thinking about my mortality. It's got me thinking that maybe I'm not going to be here forever. Seeing people around kind of running around in fear and turning on the news and being told repeatedly over and over and over again for 24 hours a day of how mortal we are and how doom and gloom is coming. You begin to wonder. Maybe you'd never stepped foot in a church, but you decided that you heard somebody talk about it and you've tuned in. I want you to know something. You're not too far from God. You're not too far from God. He loves you, and He created you to have a unique relationship with Him. Maybe even orchestrating the affairs of your entire life just to tune in to hear this word for you today. God loves you, and whosoever would put their trust in Jesus should not perish, but have everlasting life. If we just receive by faith the gift of salvation, Jesus paid the price so that we could have freedom, we could have liberty. And Christ's freedom, I want you to know, it doesn't make us reckless, but it does something more for us. So value the freedom that we have in Christ and remember its cost, okay? What is the freedom that we have in Christ? Well, the first thing that we have is we are free from the law. Now, hang on here. That doesn't mean that we disobey our civil authorities. That's not what it's saying. When we talk about freedom from the law, Galatians, the Apostle Paul is talking to people, Jews, who were holding on to this concept that if they followed the law, if they followed the Ten Commandments and the 613 commandments that's in the Mosaic Law, that would make them right in God's sight. They were trying to be good enough to get into heaven. And the Apostle Paul says something pretty amazing. He says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. The yoke of slavery to which he was referring was this thought that we have to somehow fix ourselves. We are not strapped with making ourselves good enough for God. If you've tuned in today, and you're just kind of thinking, and maybe your worldview has been this. I look around at creation, and I recognize that this probably isn't random. I recognize that there's probably an order. I mean, there's just too much stuff that it's just some proteins randomly slammed together, amino acids making the first protein, and somehow electricity hit it, and now we can build computers. If that's too big of a step for you, so you realize maybe there's a pattern, maybe there's a plan, but I don't know. So if I live a good life, I'll be rewarded for my good life when I breathe my last breath, whether that means I live to a very, very old age or something happens to me early in my life. If that's your worldview and that's what you believe, I just want you to know something. We can't make ourselves good enough. We cannot make it, gang. You can't make yourselves good enough. It's not about how good you can be. You can't do that. Sorry, gang. Your best efforts fail to make you perfect, and God is that holy. All right? We do not, Scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about that we're saved by grace through faith, and this is not of ourselves. It's not by works. It's a gift of God so that no one can boast. Our salvation doesn't come from us being good enough. In fact, Scripture also tells us that for works of the law, no person is going to be justified. We're not justified before God by how squeaky clean we can keep ourselves. It is about perfection. How in the world can we be perfect? Well, I can't. I can't. I fall short of that. And all of us fall short of that. We all fall short. In fact, Scripture tells us that our righteousness is like filthy rags in God's sight. And yet, God has this wonderful, perfect eternity. Heaven is not like what Hollywood tells you. Hollywood does not have a vested interest in your eternal salvation. They want your worldly dollars. I remember as a kid thinking, I don't really know that I want to go to heaven because everything that I see in heaven is silly. I don't like harp music. How many of you have harp music on your iPod or on your iPhone? You know, just, I'm going to go work out. And that's not how it is, gang. We have this image, and I know Hollywood likes to tell us, oh, that hell is fun and hell is wonderful. And there's a big party in hell, and then heaven is a bunch of boring clouds and hopping around and blah, 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 blah. I tell you what, although some churches are boring, heaven is anything but boring. All right? What Scripture tells, a thorough reading of Scripture lets us know that the promises of heaven are beyond even our comprehension. We can't even dream how wonderful and good. There's fellowship. There's worship. There's an experience that's anything but boring. It is so moving that you're moved to fall on your feet in reverence. There's a banquet beyond your comprehension. And unlike us who've gotten fat during COVID-19, you have a glorified body. Praise God for that. Joy everlasting. You can't earn that. How good are you going to be to get that reward? Because God is, if anything, God is just. Only a perfect being could earn a perfect eternal reward. And that perfect being's name is Jesus. That's why God became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. The glory of the Father. You were set free from having to earn your own way. Should you not value that cost? The second thing that we're free from is, besides being freed from the law and the regulations of the law to try to cleanse ourselves and make ourselves good enough, is we are free from sin. You see, some people, they get a hold of that grace concept and they say, because God loves me, it doesn't matter how I live. You don't have to be a slave to sin. And there's some people who wish that they could pursue God, but they're holding on to old mindsets or bondages or addictions and sin. Jesus sets us free from sin. Galatians goes on. Paul says in Galatians 5:13, "For you were called to freedom, brothers." Look, you were called to be free. You weren't called to be a slave to pornography. You weren't called to be a slave to anger. You weren't called to be a slave to frustration and rage. You were not called to be a slave to what anyone else has done, how anyone else has labeled you in your life and held you down. Not your socioeconomic stance, nothing. You were called to freedom, brothers. Only don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Your freedom is a gift and has a purpose. Can you skip the next slide and go to the when we remember, gang, when we remember, it changes how we live. When we remember what Christ has done for us, it changes how we live. Just like with my sister, I never treated that plate the same way again. Because I recognize the value that they have. With our nation, if we understood the freedom that we have and what people have given for that freedom, I think that we wouldn't thumb our nose at so many things of our country, but we would willingly embrace patriotism and make this the best place that we can. And if we, better than all of those things, by far, more important and of greater value and worth is understanding what Christ has done for you. When you remember all that Christ has done for you, it will change how you walk. John 8:36, Jesus, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And I want you to know that your freedom in Christ is complete. Your freedom in Christ is complete. That means that you don't have to live in fear. We have to remember to defend our freedom in our nation, and not to get overly political here. But it scares me how quickly so many in our nation, in our state, are willing to forfeit freedom. Now, and I'm not saying this, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be wise. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that COVID-19 is not a very serious illness, and that for many people that it really takes great steps of precaution to protect the vulnerable. That it's not unwise to do those things. I mean, you've seen how we as a church family have tried to take the best medical advice and the counsel from health agencies and authorities and weigh them out and try to put them into practice, balancing our ability to share God's word and to do ministry. But since, you know, we've had a consistent message from the very beginning of this, don't live in fear, don't live in fear, don't live in fear. But we should live in love. So we are free to live without fear. That doesn't mean to be reckless. That does not mean to be reckless. That doesn't mean to tell someone else who feels differently than you to go tell them off. We're going to get to that in just a second. That's not what we're called to do. We are called to share Christ's love. And sometimes that may mean an inconvenience. Sometimes that may mean an inconvenience. I was watching the movie WALL-E. How many of you remember that movie, WALL-E? It's kind of a profound little movie. And there's this one scene where it's up on the spaceship, and to kind of set it up, the Earth was polluted, and everyone had to evacuate the Earth. And while they were gone, robots were supposed to clean up the Earth, but the mess was too big. And so instead of just evacuating, they decided they're going to spend lifetimes on these ships just sailing away from the Earth and trying to wait that time out. And so finally what had happened is a plant began to grow back on Earth, and a message was sent. And so they were wanting to come back to the Earth. And the ship's captain, who had gotten so lazy and so passive that he had no responsibility, is trying to take over from the remote control or the autopilot. And the autopilot won't give up control. And there's this struggle. And finally the captain stands up and says, "I'm tired of surviving. I want to live." That struck me so hard. And again, not trying to make some profound statement about where we are with this COVID thing, but moreover, are we living our very best life for Christ no matter where we are? Because I got to tell you, people who are saying that I can't pursue Christ outside of a corporate, there were people who pursued Christ when they were thrown in jail. Okay? There were people who followed Christ and who saw Christ's purpose in many ways. If we look at the chapters of our church history, I mean, going back from its inception, from the death of Jesus Christ, there have been seasons of persecution. There have been seasons of struggle. There's been seasons of famines. And what I want you to know is that we are free to live with a purpose wherever we are. Wherever we are, and most of all, brothers and sisters, church family, most of all, we're called to live in love. As we're allowed to move forward, I tell you, we've got a lot of decisions that we need to make. We have a lot of decisions. Even in a pandemic, I want you to know that God is working in you. So don't be so quick to get out of this situation and miss what God's trying to do in you through it. Now, I am so looking for that day when we can meet together. And I'm hoping it's soon. In fact, our elders are going to get together on Tuesday, and we're prayerfully going to try to discuss and talk about what our plans moving forward are. Obviously, it changes from day to day. The one thing that we're sure is whatever facts we're given today, they're probably going to be different tomorrow. And so we are having to be very fluid and very flexible. And we certainly appreciate your patience with us. You know, as they're saying, if we're able to meet in groups of 10, well, guess what? You know what? I'm hoping that people are meeting in groups already and streaming together. And as we're allowed and as we can and as we feel that it is wise for us to gather together, we're going to begin to move forward in that way. So pray for the church leadership as we meet together on Tuesday. But no matter what, let's have grace for those who might be in a different position than us. You know, there's a lot of different perspectives right now. And we as Christians, the number one perspective that we should have is a perspective of love. Amen? We should be gracious and loving. So for all of us, even if we have different views on the pandemic and its response, above all, I'm calling us to love. If your response to someone who has a different perspective, what you need to do is be loving to them. And we're hopeful in the days ahead, again, that we're going to be able to find ways to come together as we're able. But don't wait for that time to be the church. Don't wait for that day to be the church. You have purpose now. Who knows what the new normal is going to look like? I would imagine there's going to be some changes, and we don't know what those are yet. But we know that there's one truth that endures forever. And that's the love of God. Worship team, I'm going to ask you to come back up here. So as we consider Memorial Day, as we consider, we remember our nation and the freedoms and liberties that we have here, we're also remembering, in fact, moreover, we're remembering the freedoms that we have in Christ. And so church family, let's be the church. Let's be the church. I hope you know how much I miss you. I'm so looking forward to this afternoon, celebrating our graduates and being able to see people's faces. I'm so looking forward to that. But I want you to know, moreover, God is working and you have purpose and you are called to love throughout this time. Would you join me as we pray together? Father in heaven, I thank you for the blessings that you have given us in this nation. Lord, I'm praying especially, God, for families in our community, families that we know who have loved ones who have sacrificed. Maybe we have relatives in our past who have fought in wars. God, we remember their sacrifice. We remember the great things that were done and the great lengths that people went to secure the freedoms that we have here in this great land. We ask your blessing to be on our nation. We pray, God, for wisdom to be to our leaders, to be given to our leaders. We pray for wisdom for our church leadership as we gather together to try to seek and to discern your will. God, I pray for patience among the church family. I pray for patience and God, that we would be purveyors of your love, God. Lord, I just ask that that you would also allow us your sight into how we can grow wherever we are right now. How we can reach out to be more loving, to be more graceful with one another, Lord. Bless your church, I pray, God. Bless this nation, I pray, God, in Jesus' name. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, why we form. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. Let's all sing that again.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, His terrible swift sword, his truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
God bless you, my church family. Celebrate your freedom in this nation. Celebrate your freedom in Christ. Be wise, be kind, be loving, and be gracious. And we look forward to seeing you a little bit later today as we celebrate our graduates. God bless you.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.